Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Life School live streaming video real-time gathering of souls who are aware of themselves as personalities and personalities, more importantly, who are aware of themselves as souls and are striving to use their time in the Earth School to create authentic power.
Indeed. Welcome. I'm really, really excited about being here this morning. We're going to be talking more about intuition. I know Gary did a video that we sent out for that's on the Life School right now, all about intuition, which if you haven't been able to listen to that yet, you can listen to it after this call. But we're going to go into other aspects of intuition today that I'm excited about. We're going to be talking about intuition and the differences between intuition and the emotional system, that your emotional energy processing system. So and your intuitional structure. So I'm excited about talking about that, beloved, because it's really important to know the difference. Sometimes people confuse their intuition with their emotions, and they make decisions based on that. So we're going to talk
on emotions instead of intuition. You mean?
Right.
This is one of the most frequently asked questions that we hear. How do I tell the difference between fear and intuition? Which, as you become more familiar with the vocabulary of authentic power, you recognize is, how do I tell the difference between my experiences of my emotional energy processing system and my intuition, my intuitional system?
Indeed, indeed. And for me, it's really exciting because once you can see the difference and that they're both for our use as a human being in this earth suit to be able to support us. So our intuition is helping us and guiding us through our, because of our guides and teachers can support us and help us. We can ask questions about that. And our emotions help us to know whether parts of our personality that are based in fear are active or parts of our personality that are based in love are active. And those are extremely important. We also want to give you some practical suggestions for how you can use your intuition on a daily basis, because that's really important that you begin to develop it, begin to become aware of it, and begin to use it, not just in special circumstances, but all the time.
This is important to consider, because until now, intuition hasn't been taken very seriously. In fact, it hasn't been taken seriously at all by science. Intuition is really not recognized, and if it is, it's recognized as a fluke of some kind. Psychology is the study of affect and cognition and perception, but it's not the study of intuition. That's because psychology is a five-sensory endeavor, and we are no longer five-sensory. We are multi-sensory, and this means that we are operating on data that the intellect cannot apprehend, cannot compute. It's designed to compute.
Cannot comprehend? So.
Cannot apprehend.
Okay.
Cannot comprehend.
Right. Right.
This is data from the five senses. But now, the important data that we are receiving does not come from the five senses. It comes from the non-physical world. It becomes visible to us through our expanded perception, and that is multi-sensory perception. And as we begin to use our multi-sensory perception, an amazing thing is happening. Intuition is becoming our primary decision-making faculty. It used to be the intellect. It used to be rational analysis. It used to be measuring pros and cons. It used to be comparing and analyzing. All of those things are helpful. And of course, you'll still do them, or we suggest that you do. But when you're done analyzing, when you're done comparing, then check your intuition. See what it suggests for you, and then decide what you want to do. So we're going to talk about intuition as a primary decision-making faculty. And that brings us to what Linda was just sharing, using your intuition a lot.
Indeed. Indeed. I feel like I want to first talk about that your intuitional structure it's different for every single person. However, our emotional energy processing center is the same, meaning that it's in every energy processing center. We all have them. We have seven of them, the chakras. And it's really important that if you'll be able to tell whether your emotions are coming from fear or love. Because if they're coming from fear, you'll feel discomfort or pain in these energy centers if you're aware of them. Most people aren't aware of their bodies, so they don't know that. But it's so exciting to become aware that your soul is giving you information about whether you are in a part of your personality that's coming from fear, that creates painful sensations, physical sensations in your energy processing center, or whether...
Centers, you have seven of them.
Yes. Or if you're coming from loving parts of your personality, then you're going to feel pleasant sensations that feel good to you. So sometimes you'll have pleasant sensations in many of your energy centers, but you'll have pain in your heart, or you'll feel discomfort or tightness in your throat. So you know that there's a frightened part of your personality that is active, and your soul is letting you know that by these physical sensations that are uncomfortable. So that's one system that is really important.
So let's look at that for a minute. That means that if you're feeling pain in the vicinity of an energy processing center or energy processing centers, is that pain coming from your intuition, or is it coming from fear? Well, take a moment and answer that for yourself. Now, here's the correct answer. It's coming from fear. And as we continue, you'll see why.
So our intuitional structure, as I said, is different for every person. Some people experience their intuition, and we experience it in different ways. Sometimes there's one main way that someone will experience their intuition. For me, it's usually I just know something. I just know something is right. I just know that I need to do something or go somewhere or talk to someone or say something. I just know it, and so I do that.
But at this point, recognize that if you have a yes feeling or a no feeling, and you know something is right for you, not necessarily for someone else,
mm-hmm.
that you have a choice.
Absolutely.
Your intuition does not direct you. It does not instruct you or command you. It shows you possible futures. It shows you the probable consequences of different choices you can make. But your intuition does not release you from responsibility for what you choose. Nothing can release you from that.
Well, I'll give you an example. When I was married, when I was very young, I kept having intuitional, they were like visions. I saw things. I saw things about what my future would be like if I stayed in that marriage. And the frightened parts of me felt like I needed to stay there, felt like my children should have a parent, two parents. They should, I should, you know, work this out no matter what. And even though I knew things were not healthy between us, and my intuition, and I didn't know at the time that it was my intuition. I didn't understand that I was really being guided. I didn't know that actually till I read The Seed of the Soul, and I realized I was guided, I was supported. And I didn't have to make these choices, but I knew certain things would happen in my life if I did not, if I stayed in that marriage. I wouldn't grow. I knew I would walk around unconscious like a zombie. I knew that I would be doing the same thing over and over again, and nothing would really change for me. I mean, I had clear visions, of these things. And so that's an example of, and by the way, I did decide to leave the marriage, and many frightened parts came up for me. I was in a lot of pain a lot of times. And I remember the times when I was in some of the most pain was in the evenings. I would be home with my children, and I would just have so much pain in my heart and other places. So I had frightened parts that were longing to have what I had hoped would be the perfect marriage, the perfect family, and it wasn't happening. That frightened part did not like that. But I was willing to feel that pain because I kept remembering what would happen if I stayed in that situation. And the reason I've been thinking about this is that yesterday was the 12th of September, and that was would have been my 49th anniversary of the wedding that I had. And I'm just so grateful that I listened to my intuition and that I didn't continue down that path thinking it was till death do us part, because that would have been probably meant an early death for me. Probably it would have been so difficult. I can't even imagine right now if I hadn't listened. So I'm very grateful for my intuition. I'm very grateful to know now, even though I didn't know it at the time, that I was being supported all the time, just continually being supported. And I'm very grateful for that. So that's one example.
Now, that was an example of Linda's intuition showing her a probable future.
Mm.
And it
Indeed.
Was a probable future that was so unattractive, so unhealthy, so destructive, that she chose not to bring it into being. When she made that choice, it activated frightened parts of her personality that wanted her children to have two parents, that wanted to have a stable home, that wanted to have a wholesome, healthy, loving life. And those frightened parts of her personality were not sure at all that leaving the marriage was the right thing. But she chose, and that's where the new use of courage comes in. She chose to leave what she knew, because of her intuition, would have produced unhealthy consequences for her and a very unproductive and painful life. Now, did I say that correctly, beloved?
Yes, it's correct.
So here's an example that I can share of an intuition of a probable future. Mm. I was excited when I first discovered quantum physics that I had never had an interest in before. Very excited about aspects of it that I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine physicists discussing questions such as, are we creating the reality that we're experimenting with? But that's exactly what I heard professional physicists discussing at the Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory when I went to a meeting there in Berkeley, California. And I, after a week or two or three, I knew that I wanted to share the exciting things that I was learning. And it took me that long to even begin to realize that some of these things that were so exciting to me, I couldn't even explain to other people. But as I learned about them enough to be able to explain them to other people, things like complementarity and the collapse of the wave function and Schrodinger's cat, then I decided to write a book to share my discoveries with non-scientists like me, with liberal arts majors like me, who didn't have an interest in science and none at all in mathematics. And so I began. Now, here's the thing. Once I began, even though I had never studied physics or science or written a book, I was so excited and engaged and energized and fulfilled by the process of researching and writing this book. It was purely fun. That's why this book, which became The Dancing Wuli Masters, is fun to read. So you might ask yourself, how can a book on the history of quantum physics be fun to read? Well, read this one and you'll find out for yourself. The short answer is it's fun to read because it was so much fun to write. Now, while I was writing it, I knew that this book was going to be published. Can you imagine that? here I was, living on food stamps in San Francisco, never having written a book or anything else, never having studied science, writing a book on quantum physics, and I knew it was going to be published. And not only that, I knew it was going to be well received, and it was going to be helpful to people for decades, for years and years and years.
Well, it's been 35 so far,
it's
beloved.
Been 35
and
so
a lot
far.
Of people are still interested in
they're,
it.
They're still buying that book, mm-hmm. The Dancing Woolly Masters, and they're still reading it, and it'll never go out of date because it's about the most dynamic, exciting intellectual adventure, perhaps, in human history. And it all happened within 20 or 25 years at the first of the 19th century.
Mm.
About exactly, in fact, between 1905 and 1927.
Mm.
And the characters in the drama are remarkable and engaging and exciting. So I wrote this book. I started writing it. I loved writing it. I continued writing it. Even in those times when I didn't feel like writing it, I would wait a little while and I'd get back to writing it and be excited again. And then I knew that tens of thousands of books are written every year and they're never published, never get a publisher. But I had no doubt that the book would be published.
Mm-hmm.
Was this faith on my part? No. I was looking at a future and I knew that all I had to do was to continue writing and it would come to pass. It's just as though I were looking at a beautiful, large red barn in the New England countryside and describing it. There it is, got a door on this side and windows along the side and a sort of a cupola at the top, and I wasn't making it up. I was looking at the barn. That's my experience of seeing this probable future. I was watching it. And I kept submitting treatments to publishers, writing them letters, asking them if they're interested in my book, and I kept getting letters back saying that they're not. I was encouraged by the fact that these were actual letters. They weren't form postcards with a check with a box checked off telling me why they're not going to publish my book. They were thoughtful letters from senior editors. But still, no one was going to write my book, publish my book. And toward the end of this process, I was working on the last chapter, and I got a call from someone who was a friend of the physicist who wrote the introduction to the book. This friend was a book agent who went with my physicist friend to watch hockey games in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Would you mind if I showed your book to my friend?" And I said, "No." And he showed the book to the friend, and the friend wrote back and said, "I'd like to represent you. I'll be able to tell you within 5 weeks whether I can sell your book or not."
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "Let's do it."
Mm-hmm.
He did. He sold the book. It was published. Mm-hmm. It got a rave review in the New York Times. Rave review, not just a nice one, not just a pleasing one, not just a favorable one.
Mm-hmm.
This reviewer, Christopher Lehman Haupt, was on fire. He
mm-hmm.
loved the Dancing Woolly Masters. And he took two-thirds of a page explaining why and put my picture in the review. So now this was, like Linda, my intuition showing me a probable future.
Mm-hmm.
This probable future felt so good.
And when you say a probable future, it meant that you had to write the book. If you
I
didn't write,
write
the book,
book,
it wouldn't happen.
Exactly. Exactly. A probable future means that it's probably going to happen. But a probable future means it's got a probability. Some futures have more probability than others. For example, you're exploding into your creativity and your fulfillment and your excitement about life was rather low, perhaps, a few years ago. Maybe you came from a background of depression or alcoholism or abusive parents, or you don't know why, you just weren't happy in life. Now, if you've studied authentic power, like some people have for years, that probability has gotten quite a bit higher.
Mm.
And in fact, it's starting to enter your experience.
Mm.
More connection with people, more fulfillment, more excitement, more understanding of your internal dynamics and exhilaration at being able to use them constructively and consciously. So I had an experience like Linda also of a probable future. just as she had an experience of a very probable future.
Oh, yes.
One that she knew would happen if she didn't leave that marriage, even though frightened parts of her personality didn't want to. And I had the experience of a probable future, a very probable future, if I continued writing, and I did. Those were both choices on Linda's part and on my part.
Yes, yes. And intuition doesn't always come in that way of a probable future. Sometimes.
Oh, I just wanted to say, beloved.
Yeah.
So in this case, did my good feeling, physical sensations in the vicinities of my energy centers at the prospect of this probable future come from intuition or from my intuition or from my energy processing system? They came from my energy processing system.
Mm-hmm.
They told me love was present, and if I acted on it, I would create constructive consequences. Linda's told her that fear was present, and if she acted on it, she would create destructive consequences. That's information from the energy, from your emotional energy processing system.
You mean, okay, I'm a little confused. So what you're saying is that I had these visions or these knowings that if I stayed in the marriage, that my future would, I wouldn't really become conscious. I wouldn't really grow.
Yes. Now, you also had physical sensations with that, right?
Not at the same time, but I had a lot of painful physical sensations, parts of me that didn't want to leave, that were afraid.
Well, that's the point, beloved. Those sensations came from your emotional energy processing system.
Right.
The insight, the recognition of the future that you were creating came from your intuition.
Right, and that's what I had to hold on to. I had to hold on to that because I realized that was what was really so for me.
Exactly.
And that all the fear that I had of leaving was coming from a fearful place in me.
So can you see the difference between the experiences of your energy processing system,
uh-huh,
which is the pain, the fear,
right,
and your intuitional system, which is the presentation to you of what you are creating?
Right. Well, I imagine that when you were writing The Dancing Woolly Masters, that there were times when you were concerned that you kept getting these letters, that you had frightened parts come up that was thinking that maybe it wouldn't happen?
Actually, that's not the case.
Okay, so
But the point I want to make is this. Intuition does not come with emotional experiences.
Mm.
It comes as intuition, it's clarity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not connected to your emotional energy processing system.
Right.
The intuition that you have, the vision or what you see or what your intuition tells you can activate your emotional energy processing system. In the case of Linda, it created painful physical sensations in her energy processing centers.
When I thought of leaving the marriage.
When she thought of leaving, right.
And what would happen if I did that? And
that, those painful experiences came from your energy processing, your emotional energy processing system.
Yeah, the frightened parts of my personality that would become active, that would have kept me limited and kept me in that marriage.
Well, your decisions would have kept you in that
marriage.
What
I mean is if I listened to that.
If you listened to that.
Yeah.
In both cases, in the case of emotions and in the case of intuition,
mm-hmm,
you need to choose.
Yeah.
And you do choose. And you do choose. And in my case, the intuition, what I saw through intuition, the wonderful acceptance and success in all ways of this book that I was writing, created wonderful feeling physical sensations in me, and they did not come from intuition either. They came from my energy, my emotional energy processing system. So can you see the difference? So when you feel physical sensations in your energy processing centers, don't think that's intuition. Those are emotions. Those are physical sensations that are alerting you to the presence of love in you or to the presence of fear in you.
I'll give you an example. Let's say you meet someone. Someone introduces you to someone. And immediately you feel this, I really like this person. You know, they're really great. Well, let's do it another way. This is even more clear. If you meet, if someone introduces you to someone and you immediately start judging them and you notice things about them that you don't like, and you've already pushed them away, and if you felt your energy centers, you'd feel pain probably in your heart and in your solar plexus.
Well, you would.
Maybe.
Well, you would, because you're pushing someone away.
Yeah,
which means you're closing your heart in this case.
Well, if you were really noticing, that's why it's so important to pay attention, become emotionally aware. It's so important to do that, because if you don't, then you'll be making choices in fear.
Yes, my point is that these emotions don't start when you become aware of them. They're there.
Mm-hmm.
Those sensations are there. And as you become aware of your emotional energy processing system, you begin to feel those physical sensations. You don't create them, you begin to feel them, which means for the first time you can start to use them.
Right.
Consciously, intelligently, wisely.
Right. I've met people before that I've pushed away, that I've judged. And sometimes I would say it's my intuition keeping me away from that person. But what I've almost always found is that when I have a reaction like that, that person is showing me something about myself that I need to know about myself, and it has nothing to do with them. I mean, they could be doing whatever they're doing, but the most important thing is that I'm learning something about myself. There's something in me that's creating a reaction like that. And so a lot of people will say, well, I'm not going to be around that person because they're judging them and they're noticing things about them they don't like, and so they push them away thinking, well, that's my intuition telling me. That's not your intuition. That's not your intuition. Your intuition may support you in noticing something about someone that you may say, oh, that person's not really telling me the truth right now. Your intuition's helping you to see that. But it's not that you're judging them. You're just, you know, the intuition is that, oh, this person's in a lot of fear, or they wouldn't be doing that. But if you have an emotional reaction, oh, this person's lying to me, I can't stand it when people lie, then that has to do with you. That has to do with your frightened parts of your personality that are judging and pushing someone away. That's a different system than your intuition just helping you to see that person's, you know, not being truthful with me right now, and I know that, and I know they're in fear. That's a different thing.
Exactly.
So we're trying to tell you the difference between the two. It takes practice to be able to do that, to be able to see that, because when you're in a reaction, you think that what's happening is true.
Well, actually, as you learn how to use your emotional awareness,
mm-hmm.
as you develop it, that's the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know now, because of this call, because of this talk we're having, that when you have physical sensations in the vicinities of your energy processing centers, and you continually do, that is not intuition. That is a system designed to show you when love is active in you and when fear is active in you, so that you can choose love and challenge fear. At the same time, you have intuition. You have an intuitional system, and it's different. It's interior. You can't see it. You can't find it when a coroner dissects a corpse. You can't see it with x-rays or imaging technology, but it's real. Both of these systems are interior. They're both non-physical. They are both real, and they are both different.
Mm-hmm.
Your emotional energy processing system tells you about fear in you and about love in you, so that when fear is active in you, you can challenge it rather than creating painful consequences for yourself. In other words, before you create painful karma. And when love is active in you, you can cultivate it by consciously recognizing it, using emotional awareness, noticing your thoughts too, and then act on love and create wholesome, beneficial, constructive consequences. In other words, a wonderful karma. Your intuition gives you, with compassion and wisdom, information that only our non-physical guides and teachers can provide. Well, I'm assuming, by the way, Linda and I are both assuming that you listened and watched the video on intuition that we sent out in advance of this gathering.
I believe it was sent out on
It's usually sent
September
out
3rd.
Two weeks before.
Yeah.
Before you see a live streaming video like this, you will have received approximately 2 weeks in advance a pre-recorded video that will be on that topic or the topic that we want you to learn about for that session. And having pre-recorded that, we may go deeper into it as we are now. The pre-recorded video this time was on intuition, and we're talking to you about intuition. Sometimes a live streaming video will be about something else. There may be a current event that we want to talk about, or
That's
a movie,
right.
or some experiences that we're having, or that one of you told us about that you're having. So we are assuming that you have seen that video on intuition. If you haven't, after this session, go to the Life School page and watch that video.
Indeed.
Because that video will tell you a lot about intuition.
So we don't need to go into it more now because it's on the video.
We don't, and we won't.
Yeah.
But I just said that intuition connects you with non-physical guides and teachers. Sometimes it connects you with your own soul. What's the difference? What is a higher self experience? What is the difference between intuitive processing and intuitive channeling? All of that is on that video. So I recommend that you listen to that video if you haven't already. It's a very informative. But what we're talking about now is recognizing the difference between intuition and emotions.
Indeed.
The systems that produce or present both to you, why they present both to you,
yes.
and how you can use what each presents to you consciously and wisely.
Yes, because so...
And that's creating authentic power, by the way.
Yes, yes, because so many times we'll hear people, as Gary said, we'll hear people that say, I can't tell the difference between my fear and my intuition sometimes. How do I do that? Well, this is exactly how you do it, but you have to practice. You have to become very skilled at knowing what's going on in your energy processing centers. You have to become emotionally aware.
So here's what you need to remember. If you're in pain, that's not your intuition. That is your emotional energy processing system. If you're feeling ecstatic...
If you're in pain in your energy processing centers?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm,
thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are feeling wonderful feeling, physical sensations in those same energy processing centers, that's not your intuition. That's your emotional energy processing system. Your intuition comes with clarity, not with emotion. It has a different purpose. And that purpose, both of them actually have the same purpose, which is to assist you in your spiritual development.
Indeed.
And both of them require your choice.
Indeed.
Because ultimately, not ultimately, period, you need to choose whether you're going to shout at someone or look for sex to make yourself feel better or shop or gamble or indulge in perfectionism or workaholism. You're the one that decides to do that. And if you have a wonderful experience of a loving part of your personality, you're the one that needs to choose to cultivate that. And if you have an intuition that shows you something, like Linda showed her a probable future of pain and shriveling and contraction and disease, she still had to choose not to bring that into being.
That's right.
She had to act to avoid that. In my case, I saw a future of wholesomeness and fulfillment and gratification and helping other people, and I had to choose to make that happen. In my case, I had to choose to continue what I was doing, which was writing. In Linda's case, she had to discontinue what she was doing,
yes.
which was staying in this unhealthy, toxic marriage.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed.